Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Talent Builders Radio, broadcasting live from Atlanta. I'm Barb Giamanco, hosting the program, and it's good to be with you again. As you know, each month I bring on amazing guest experts to talk about topics that are related to helping you grow your business. Everything from social media, motivation, hiring the right people, improving communication, building your sales, and so much more. We've got a great lineup for you again today, and very excited to be here. In fact, what a week it has been here in Atlanta. Tornadoes, crazy storms, and today we have amazingly gorgeous weather. So it's a great day here in Atlanta. So first, let me give you a little bit of background on Augustine, because the title of his book may fool you. So here you go. So Augustine Campana is a native of Yonkers, New York. He's had several careers, everything from accounting, auditing, project management, all part of his 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. He's done things in management consulting, training and development, and facilitation. He currently facilitates partnering teams involved in the environmental remediation of military bases. His creative pursuits include painting, computer graphics, and modeling characters from Peanuts, Dr. Seuss, Disney, et al. Since childhood, he's written and produced many shows and reviews as an avocation. His most recent creative achievement is titled The Last Ferry. Augustine has lived and traveled throughout the United States and in Europe, and it was on a trip to Bavaria with his wife, Jean, that many of the concepts for his book, The Last Ferry, came to him. His formal education includes a BBA in accounting and an MS in education. And Augustine, I want to welcome you to the program. And I'm wondering, before we get started, may I call you Gus?
You may call me Gus, and thank you very much. That was a wonderful introduction. I don't have anything else to say.
Well, we're going to have 30 minutes of dead time then, aren't we? So I'm going to have to get creative. Well, I appreciate you joining me this morning. I'm so excited to talk about this. People who know me know that I'm all about attitude, being creative, looking for ways to re-inspire and reinvigorate ourselves. And my goodness, that's something I think we really need a lot these days. So, Gus, as we kind of kick it off, it really seems from reviewing your bio and as I've been reading your book, it's obvious that creativity has played a big role in your life. So how does somebody go from being an auditor, for goodness sakes, to the author of such a wonderfully creative book as The Last Ferry?
Well, I think you covered quite a bit of it in the introduction, and I was an accountant right around the corner from Wall Street, joined the Air Force, eventually made my way into the Air Force Audit Agency. And I was an internal auditor most of my career in the Air Force. And creativity was always part of that. It's always been part of my life. And I think, basically, creativity is just looking at things and, first of all, saying, what if? And then saying, why not? There are ads now on TV that talk about kids as tinkerers, and I was a tinkerer. I don't think there was a toy or a part or a clock I never took apart. It was just curiosity and looking around and saying, wow, I wonder what that's all about, and exploring it. So creativity, and the way you maintain your creativity is to be aware, be open, and I've done that all my life, and it's kind of paid off, I guess.
Yeah, well, one of the things that struck me about the story is you kind of kick off the story. You're talking about how you and Jean, who is a fellow colleague of mine, and you were talking about how you and Jean, you're kind of on this travel. You're starting off to go visit a particular castle that you wanted to visit, and there was a detour.
Exactly.
And so you go off on this detour, and so what really kind of came up for me was, wow, isn't that how life sometimes happens, where there's a detour, the question is, are we paying attention or not? So can you talk a little bit more about that, because I don't believe that that was any sort of an accident. What about you?
Well, that's exactly right, and the funny thing is, after I got the idea for The Last Ferry, we actually did go to Europe, we actually went to Neuschwanstein Castle, and it gave me the basis for saying, what if I didn't get to go to that castle, but we found a different castle. And that's where I learned the story of The Last Ferry. And the rest of it kind of rolled from there. It was very interesting. If I might tell you a little bit about the book, it's 200 pages long, so there are a number of twists and turns and romance and drama and, of course, fantasy in it. There's even a war between two kingdoms. But the core story is about Arabella. She's the daughter of a queen of all fairies and a human king. Now, in order for fairies to live among us, they need the love and belief of humans. So when a wicked witch turns humans against them, the fairies start dying off, and Arabella finds herself as the last fairy. And relying on her half-fairy, half-human nature, her self-belief, in effect, she confronts the witch. Now, I'm not going to tell you how the story ends, but it's a fairy tale, and you can probably guess. But basically, that's the story that evolved from that detour in my head that we took on a trip, actually a number of years ago.
And you also, and what also struck me as I've been getting into the story is that, you know, there's something there about, you know, personal confidence, personal belief in ourselves, mm-hmm. You know, to transcend challenging times and all. And now you say that mushrooms were that creative spark that inspired you to write The Last Fairy. So tell me about that. How so? How did this single idea, this notion of mushrooms kind of grow into your 200-page book?
To talk about that, I have to go back a lot of years to when I was just a little kid, a little boy back in Yonkers, New York, and there was a cartoon panel in the local paper, and it was called the Teeny Weenies. And Teeny Weenies were these little fairies, and they lived under mushrooms. So when I was growing up, I'd see a mushroom, and I'd go explore under the mushroom. And a lot of times I'd even pick the mushroom and take it apart and see if I could find the fairies. Well, years later, here I am in Florida, and it's wet down here occasionally, not always a sunshine state. And I looked out on the lawn one morning, and there were these huge white mushrooms. And my first thought was, I wonder where the fairies are. That was the kernel idea behind what developed into the book.
Now, it's a fairy tale. The book is a fairy tale, but it's really also a story about life, isn't it?
Well, a major point of the story, and one of the life lessons in the story, is believe in yourself, as you mentioned already. And I think I heard Rochelle say the same thing at the end of her interview.
Yes, it's absolutely.
So important, and it is the core message of the story. But there are other messages, like the good triumphing over evil, the immense power of love, and also the way we can learn from others who are not like us. So I think those are kind of the life lessons I try to put into the book, and hopefully I succeeded.
Well, and isn't that, and so timely, Gus, so timely for what's going on. People who know me know that I do not watch news. I work very diligently it's not that I'm not staying on top of what's happening, but I do not allow myself to be inundated with the negativity, and I think that's a real challenge for people right now. And so your themes of believing in yourself and, you know, good over evil, and how important diversity in really recognizing that people have diverse perspectives, there's opportunity there for us, and of course the power of love, not only ourselves, you know, but other people. Mm-hmm. So it has so much relevance, I think, especially for right now, where it's an easy out, I believe, for people to fall into, well, if, you know, the banks didn't do this and they didn't do that, you know, my life would be better.
Exactly. And I think, just as a side note, I think that today's economy, the whole situation in the U.S. and in the world is asking us to be more creative, not only, you know, from the standpoint of being creative day to day, but in larger concepts about how we deal with this situation. I think yours is a good one, because I do the same thing. I pay attention to news, but I don't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of ways to kind of keep up with what's happening in the world, but not allowing people with their own biases and agendas to just keep hammering you over the head with the negativity, because I really do believe that, you know, energy goes where our attention is, and so, you know, if our attention is focused on negativity, we think we bring that to us, and I do believe that it closes off that creativity. And so I want to talk about how creativity and innovation really apply to business, because there are huge implications, and I think this is a universal call for all of us to behave differently, for businesses to act differently. So what do you think, Gus, are some of the ways, three ways maybe, we can apply kind of the off-the-job creativity to on-the-job situations and business challenges?
First of all, I think we need to, and again, I think I heard this in the last interview, look around and look for the opportunity. We all know that change for the sake of change is, you know, not usually a good thing. But sometimes we need to change. We need to be aware to begin with so that we get inspiration. And inspiration, I kind of often say inspiration leads to perspiration, because my view of creativity is it's not creative if you don't do anything with it. Having a good idea doesn't work until you actually implement it. And that's being creative. So I think the first thing to do is to be aware. Next, get up to speed on the area that you want to change. Just by coincidence, I was right after I attended a social media training with Barb about a week and a half ago, whenever it was. And right after that call, I got on a call about innovation. It was called Innovation on the Verge, and talking about how we deal with today's economy, how we deal with the crises that are existing today. And some examples that were given there is looking around on the job and finding a better way to do it. For example, FedEx used to use forklifts, and then separately would weigh the packages they would put on the plane and back on the forklift, back on the plane. Somebody said, gee, why don't we put a scale on the forklift? That's innovation on the verge. Another one that was given was, you know, Walmart going into this business of these mini clinics. Well, you don't expect Walmart, but it really is a great fit because they have a huge pharmacy operation and so forth. So that works for them. The one I like to talk about is computers. Computers and modems. And I've been around with computers since the early 80s. And with personal computers, that is. And we've always had modems, and we always had telephones, and we always had computers. Well, somebody put three together, and we call it an iPhone. So I think, again, those are examples of innovation. But I think you need, first, like I say, be aware, be open to it. Secondly, get up to speed on the area that you want to deal with, want to change, want to do something with. If it's art, as a personal thing, or composing music, you need obviously to learn that skill. But if it's a simple thing like, gee, how do I make a post-it note? And that was somebody's wild idea once, and they're all, I couldn't live without them, let me put it that way. So I think we need to do that, and we also finally need not to fear failure. So we gotta get out, as the old Nike commercial used to say, get out there and do it. And don't worry about failure. I always give the example of the Eiffel Tower. It was known as a great failure until I figured out it was the symbol of France. So it's the kind of thing that we can apply every day on the job by awareness, learning or finding out what area we're dealing with, and applying, just doing it and not worrying about losing.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, all the great entrepreneurs will tell you how many times they failed before they ever really hit on core success. And if you're not failing, you're not trying anything new. And so, you know, it's important. But I think a lot of times people maybe take that personally, and then they feel like, oh, if I failed, there's something wrong with me. Well, no, it means you just look for the opportunity in that the thing that didn't work out. Figure out what you can do a little bit differently. And you're right, being open to these things, as I'm doing a lot of work with social media, you know, I get people saying, oh, why would I want to do that? People will just complain, or, you know, I don't want to get into this social media thing, that's just a waste of time, without recognizing that there are new opportunities there. And I love that phrase, innovation on the verge. This is a perfect time to look around and say, what if, why not? As you mentioned earlier on, you know, things are broken. Don't assume you can't fix them. Look for a new way. Try something different.
Yeah. I have seen, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've seen situations where people will say, oh, why can't they do this better? Well, why can't they? You know, I mean, suggest, do something, change it.
Yeah. Well, and isn't that interesting? So take accountability. If you think they can do it better, go show them how.
Exactly.
Give them an idea. Talk to them. You know, isn't that so funny? It lands on a core point about personal responsibility and accountability, too. Let's encourage people not to expect everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to define the they.
Sure.
They is me. It's like the old pogo thing. we have met the enemy and he is us.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? So.
Now, you know, a lot of people think that they don't possess any creativity. They think that that's just, there are some people who are naturally born as kind of the artsy type and all that, and I know you disagree with it, and I do as well. But I also know that I was a person who for a long time thought I had no creativity. So first let's talk about how do you believe that everybody has the capability to be creative? Talk a little bit about that. And then what suggestions do you have for somebody who maybe thinks they aren't very creative? How can they reconnect with that, tap back into it?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first observation is, and it's going to sound a little bit flip, but if a person says, I'm not creative, my response is stop thinking that way. Because way back, I used to train people in the use of computer systems, and it was a basic maxim back then. If you say you can't learn it, you're going to be right every time. And until these people got rid of the can't-do attitude, they didn't learn. So I'd say, first thing, get rid of the idea that you're not creative. We're creative every day. I think it's our default position. We're all tinkerers to one degree or another. Some of us are artists and composers, but some of us do creative things in very little ways. The way you fix your cereal in the morning, or tie your tie, or put on your makeup. We all do things that kind of fit our character, fit what, you know, our role in life, and we're very creative in the way we do it. Maybe we don't recognize that, though. Some of the simplest things, and again, I mentioned post-it notes before, that was one thing that paid such huge dividends, and it was just a really simple, almost silly idea. Now, I was an accountant, as you mentioned, and you can't be very creative with a set of books. And I know people have tried, but you're not supposed to.
Okay. Right.
But as an auditor and a consultant, I found maybe you can't do anything with the books, but you can recommend ways to improve situations, kind of a continuous improvement type thing, where that's where you can be creative. If you're in a kind of accounting type job, which again is pretty straightforward, what you can do is approve everything around it. Improve everything around it through creativity.
Yeah, I remember the story of, I was in my whole career prior to starting my own business in technology, and there was a certain amount of creativity, but, you know, we were kind of really into our sort of bits and bytes thing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after leaving that thinking, gosh, I used to say, so I realized, of course, that was the thing that was working against me. I'd always say, I'm not that creative. You know, if I happened to be in a class and they wanted you to kind of play with drawing, and I'd say, I don't do that very well. And I remember the day that I had walked into Michael's, which is a craft store, and I saw this beautiful flower arrangement. And I thought, man, that would look so great in the house. And, I'm not cheap or anything. I'm willing to spend money. But I looked at the price tag and I said, oh, for goodness sakes, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started shopping around the store, and I picked out the arrangements. I kind of just looked at what they had done, and I went home and I crafted this amazing flower arrangement, which for me was kind of the start of breaking wide open and recognizing that, sure, I had creativity, and it was my form of creativity, as you mentioned, not somebody else's version of that. So, I think some people would then say, well, heck, you know, and I know I live that life too. I barely have enough time to get things done that are already required. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'd like to be more creative, but how do I find the time? What do you advise for them, Gus?
Basically, we all get the same 24 hours. And when you think about it, all the creators, the great creators and innovators and inventors and thinkers, they all had that same 24 hours. So, again, that's maybe a little bit of a flip answer, but really, it's true. It's a fact. I think awareness of what's around us, and let me go back to the story for a second, where in The Last Fairy, we learned that a lot of our creativity came from fairies. And I won't go into all the details, but it's very well supported in the story, which tells me two things. A, that creativity is a trait that's inborn, but it's also to be learned. And I think once we say to ourselves, I can do, just like you did, you said, why not? Maybe out of, you know, this is a little expensive for me, but why couldn't I do that myself? And you probably did it better than what you saw because, as you say, you personalized it. That trait of creativity is with us all the time. We just need to be open to it And secondly, and I think the really important factor is we need to act on it. So once we're inspired, once we get that gem of an idea, once we see the mushrooms on the lawn, we need to say, what am I doing with this idea? And then go do it.
I agree. And you weren't flip about the 24 hours. It's funny, you don't know this, but I say that a lot when people say, oh, I don't have time for this, or Barb, how do you read so many books? I never have the time. Well, it all depends on what your priority is,
mm-hmm.
and how you choose to focus your attention throughout the day. So I think that's amazing. Now, so you learn that creativity is also learned. What did you learn for yourself, Gus, as you kind of went through that creative process of writing the book, The Last Fairy?
Wow. It was amazing what I learned. First, it's not easy. I don't come from a writing background. I mean, I've written hundreds of audit reports, et cetera, things like that, technical reports. But this kind of creative writing was pretty new to me, although I've done a number of scripts, et cetera, as you said in my bio. But this was really new, where the rubber meets the road, where you're writing it for somebody to read and not just act out. It was very painful at times, but I have to tell you, very, very rewarding and satisfying. There's nothing greater than that one sentence that says exactly what you want to say. So that was my first lesson. Secondly, I discovered that the story almost writes itself, because it's almost like life writing itself. You know, it just happens. So you have situation A, and then you add situation B, and before you know it, situation C is happening, and you really didn't write it. You just said, oh my God, that has to happen that way. It's just inexorable. So I think those are two things that were important. And finally, it takes discipline. And it's not just that it's difficult, because everybody will discover it's difficult, but it takes discipline. You need to stay with it. You need to say, I'm going to do 3 or 4 or 5 pages a day. I'm going to achieve this. You need to set goals. And you need to keep in mind the idea that if you don't know the answer as the author, if you don't know the answer to a certain situation in the book that you're writing, then who does? And once you answer that, you take on take on responsibility and say, I'm writing this. I'll figure out how it's going to work. So those are 3 big lessons. Another lesson I would add is after the book, I'm finding that, my goodness, the whole publishing thing is on its ear because of self-publishing and publishing on demand. And basically, that's all based in computers. And then the second thing would be social media as far as marketing the book. So those are huge lessons. I'm still trying to get my arms around the ladder of the social media. And then, again, that's why I attended your course.
Yeah, and there's and just to let you know, I don't know if you heard it in the very beginning, but I am a social media fan, as you know, because I do think it has wonderful implications for how we can market and brand ourselves and get to new audiences that we couldn't get to before. Many organizations are starting to read. You can go to news publications and you'll see that they have a button for sharing this. Well, same with the technology I use for the radio show, which is Blog Talk Radio, and I'll put a plug in for them, because now they have, with each of our segments, they have a button that you just click the button to tweet out to the Twitter community about the radio show, which I did twice a couple minutes before we went online and then once we went live. Mm-hmm. Just another example of having a vehicle for letting other people know that this is happening, and it's happening real time, gives them an opportunity to kind of join in the discussion. So my hope is that that gets some additional visibility for both you and Rochelle. But there are lots of interesting things happening in the world, that's for sure. Now, what about a sequel?
Yeah, and there's a sequel in the works. If I ever get time to do it, here we go with the time thing again, but if I ever find time to do it, because I've been so busy with the book and trying to market the book. Anyway, going back to the sequel itself, in the story, the sorcerer Xandalore is a key character. He is the Lord Protector of the fairies, and he's also a keeper of their history. And in that role, he has gathered all the stories. Now, at some point in the story, actually at the end of The Last Fairy, the fairies disperse throughout the world, and Xandalore is the keeper of the stories that had the things that happened to them after they left, after actually the book ends. So the sequel will be called The Last Fairy, The Tales of Xandalore, and it will tell these probably about 7 to 10 stories about what's occurred to the fairies since the Last Fairy proper ended.
Interesting. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. Let me just throw out a wacky idea for you about social media. Perhaps as you're getting that together, you might occasionally throw something out to the social media world, either in some of your groups or in Twitter, and ask them to tag on to your story.
Oh, that would be interesting. That would
throw out a sentence. Yeah. What does Xandalore do next?
Yeah. Suggestions. Let me add one thing too. There is, it's not really a sequel, but in the works, I'm planning to do a children's picture book, because while The Last Fairy is a fairy tale, it's more of an adult fairy tale, and you really need to read it to the littler kids, and they expect pictures. So I'm working on a picture book with the core story about the princess, etc. And so that'll be coming out probably before The Tales of Xandalore.
Very cool. Well, as we're kind of winding down the program then, Gus, I want to do two things. One, I want you to give everyone first and foremost an opportunity to know how to reach out to learn more about you. So website, email, phone, tell everybody how they can learn more about what you're doing and, of course, purchase your book.
Well, the easiest way is to visit thelastfairy.com. Very simple, and all that information's on there. There's a way to email me from there. There's a way to order the book. There's more about my background. There's a excerpt from the book. And so that would be the one I would recommend, and hopefully whoever visits will be inspired to, because, you know, you're seeing an accountant write a book here, inspired to believe in yourself and not set limits. Also, let me mention one thing that I live by, and hopefully this is helpful to other people. There are 5 principles that I live by, and it's dream big, work hard, learn every day, enjoy life, and be true to yourself. And The Last Fairy is the embodiment of that. My big dream, by the way, is to have it made into a movie.
I love it.
And I'm working hard on that. And as I said before, every time I do something, I'm learning more and more about social media, about the whole publishing industry, and now it's more about the movie industry. Enjoy life, and to me, The Last Fairy was a treat to do. And being true to yourself, those are the values I actually put in the book.
Fantastic. Well, I want to encourage everyone to visit Gus at www.thelastfairy.com. Learn more about what he's doing, pick up a copy of his book, and watch for the picture book for the kids, certainly. And so, Gus, what's just one last thing you would like people to remember from our conversation today as I'm about to wrap up our program?
Well, I would say believe in yourself, be open to creativity, be open to the opportunity, and when you see it, take it. Do something. When the what if happens to you, find the why not and then follow it.
I love it. So once you have that inspiration, put it into action. Get moving in some forward direction. Don't let it just sit on the shelf and become a wish I had.
Exactly.
Sort of thing. Yeah, I love it. Well, Gus, thank you so much for joining me on Talent Builders Radio. I have appreciated it more than you know, and I want to thank you for the wonderful gift of your book. I am enjoying it immensely. For all of you listening, I've been talking with Augustine, also known as Gus Campana. He is the author of The Last Fairy. Please visit him at www.thelastfairy.com. I am really enjoying the book. It is very inspirational. There are great messages for all of us as adults and how we can tap into our creativity and innovation. And so, Gus, again, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Barb. This was a great treat for me.
Well, thank you so much. And for all of you, I hope you loved the show today. It was another great one, if I do say so myself. I enjoy bringing amazing guests on, like Gus Campana and Rochelle Togafiga. We have had a great discussion today about creativity, innovation, and the inner game of achieving what you want. Don't forget to join me again in May for more great shows. And if you happen to miss the first half of the program, or you know some people who would benefit, please send them to www.blogtalkradio.com talentbuildersradio.com/talentbuildersradio for upcoming schedule and to listen and pass on the program you've been listening today. I'm Barb Giamanca with Talent Builders Broadcasting Live out of Atlanta. And using social media, we can help you turn those business connections into cash and make sure you're not leaving that easy money on the table. So visit me on my blog at BarbaraGiamanco.com. I have really enjoyed the program this morning. Thanks so much for joining all of you. And until next time, have an amazing, creative, and innovative day. Take care.